Well, Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. We are glad you're here tonight. Please join me as we open in prayer. Lord God, thank you that we can celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful freedom we have in our land to gather tonight and to worship you and spend time as a church family and with other friends as well. We give you thanks and would ask, O Lord, that you be glorified tonight and that each person would be go away encouraged because we have encountered the living God who does amazing things even today. We give you thanks for this time. In your name I pray, amen. I have a wonderful story to read to you, which I'm sure is familiar, but it's nevertheless a joy. It's found in Luke and Matthew. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Well, Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had happened, what they'd been told about the child.
And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Then he called all the chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them, "Where was the Christ to be born?" And he was told, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out for them the exact time the star has appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child lay. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And that is a wonderful true story.
Well, I hope that you've been counting your blessings this Christmas season, because we certainly do have a lot of amazing things to give thanks for. One of my favorite Christmas gifts ever was when I received a bicycle. During one of the warm-ups for my fall soccer games, my dad killed a little time, as he was wont to do, and he went down to the local thrift store. Well, he knew I wanted a bicycle, and he checked out what they had to see if something might work. Well, before buying it, though, he decided to check in with me, and so after the game, he and I and whoever was with us went down there, and I sat on it, and it was going to work. It was going to fit. It needed a lot of work, but my dad is a handy guy, and so that wasn't going to be an issue. Well, a couple months later, on Christmas morning, there was a large package which was all wrapped up in our living room. Well, if your house was like mine, you had to wait till there was enough sunlight so the movie camera would work. And that was a killer as a young kid. But finally, there was enough light, and we were able to open our presents. And of course, the first one I went to was the big one. And sure enough, inside was the bicycle. But you know what? It looked nothing like the beat-up old bike that I had seen a few months earlier and that we had bought at the thrift store, hauled home, and then it mysteriously disappeared for a few months. You see, my bike was now painted my all-time favorite color blue. It had black pinstripes down the forks, along the body, and everywhere. It was spit-polished and shiny. It had a short, not a traditional long skinny banana seat, but kind of a short fat banana seat. I don't know, it was a weird kind of banana, I guess. But boy, it was comfortable and I loved it. I spent countless hours cruising up and down the neighborhood and even riding it to school when I was in fifth and sixth grade. Well, even though I was expecting a bike, I received something even more wonderful, even better than I could have imagined. It was purchased and prepared and presented with a lot of love and time just for me. I would later have a 10-speed in years to come, but that blue bike was my favorite by far. Well, all of us can probably think of favorite gifts we've had or we hope to get, and I hope yours came your way. But here we are at Christmas Eve, and it's time to talk about the best gift ever given by the best giver, a gift from God the Father to all of humanity. Of course, I'm referring to the birth of Jesus. I read the complete story to the kids earlier, so I'm not going to read it completely again, but I want to emphasize a few details of the story that the angel shared. Well, the angel definitely provided comfort to Joseph. Again, don't be afraid. And he explained the situation to Joseph, that Mary had done everything right. She hadn't done anything wrong, but the Holy Spirit was at work preparing something amazing. And so what she'd said is, first of all, what's conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. That must have really brought some peace and comfort to him. and cleared up. Okay, it's going to be all right. We're not told, and he wasn't told exactly how the Holy Spirit worked that detail out, but that's okay. What he knew was what had happened to his bride-to-be was from God, and he could live with it. Next up, his name was called Jesus. Now, what a special name. In fact, the Bible tells us at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a powerful name. It means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh was the covenant name of Israel's God. And it's translated to Yeshua. It's a combination of God plus the words rescue, to deliver or to save. Jesus was quite a popular name in first century Judea. It was kind of like Mike in mid 20th century America. You know, I think I had 3 in my class, and Mike, you probably had 4 in yours, kind of a deal. But in my neighborhood, there was a Mike who was about 4 years older than me, and he was a large young man. So he was called Big Mike, and I weighed about 64 pounds and was not very tall, so they called me Little Mike in the neighborhood, just to clarify who they were talking about. So Jesus was called Jesus of Nazareth, so that people knew which Jesus they were talking about. But the fact is, it may have been a common name, but it was very significant. Again, it described what the child would do. The child was there to save. In the Old Testament, Joshua or Jesus led his people to victory over their enemies. In the New Testament, this Jesus would lead all humanity over sin and death, the greatest enemies we face. You know, it's interesting because at the same time his name was very common, it emphasizes his humility and his humanity. As one scholar put it though, from one angle, he is just another Jesus. Yet in another sense, he was the true Jesus, the one who would live up to the meaning of his name in ways no others could. And God chose Jesus to bring salvation into the world. We're told in Acts, salvation's found in no one else. For there's no other name given among heaven where we must be saved. Acts 10:43 adds, all the prophets testify that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Forgiveness is available through this Jesus. It's the name people are baptized into, that they go out, the name to go share, the name that healing and miracles were done in, and the name which people pray in. 1 John 4 tells us the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus was sent to save, and he will for anyone who calls on him. The next thing we hear from the angel is that the child would be a special son, just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold, and which the angel quotes from. The virgin will be with child, wrote Isaiah, and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the book of Isaiah, 700 years previously, a child was born to King Ahaz, who was given this name as a sign that the king would receive relief from attack by his enemies. The name indicates God would be with you. He would be with him and care for them. And then all those centuries later, when Jesus came, he would fulfill that role even more spectacularly. Jesus fulfilled this because he truly was God with us. He was fully human, yet fully God. And he came to live with people so he could reveal God to us. John's gospel describes it this way. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, the one and only who is at the Father's, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. In Jesus, God walked with us, walked with people just like God used to in the Garden of Eden. The coming of Jesus showed that he kept his promises. The cool thing, he wasn't just a sign of God with us, he actually was God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel. He's not just an emanation or a partial fulfillment of who God is, but he's God in all his fullness, like Colossians tells us. In Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. How's that work? I don't quite get it. That he's God and not us. He was God, and yet he left heaven, became a man, and took on a form of a servant so he could relate to us. And Jesus would grow up as a man and eventually be put to death on a Roman cross. And through that death and his shed blood, made possible salvation for everyone. Well, he was Emmanuel at his birth, and he continues to be. And after his resurrection, and before he went to heaven, he told his disciples, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's still the case today. So the angel told Joseph who this baby would be. He'd be a son. His name would be Jesus, because he'd save from their sins. He would be called Emmanuel, because he'd be God with us. And in the most famous verse in the Bible, I'm sure you've heard it, "For God so loved the world, he gave that gift of his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave his Son so we wouldn't have to die in our sins. And the next verse in John tells us God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Salvation's available to all. The question is, what will you do with this greatest of gifts here at Christmas? Will you keep it at arm's length, or will you grab onto it? You know, I eventually outgrew my 10-speed, or my bicycle, and eventually I got a 10-speed. I rode that when I was in college. But at some point, I put it my old bike in a shed, and I didn't ride it anymore. It was great for a time, but it's way too small now. The last time I saw my old bike was probably 15, 20 years ago, and it was still sitting where I'd set it. Rusty from a roof leak, with two flat tires covered with cobwebs. You know, at this point, it's more likely to be turned into a tuna can than ever be ridden again. But you know, the gift of God, though, is different. It's always fresh. It's always ready. It never goes stale. It's always available, always applicable. And it's better than anything material you could ever hope to receive. You know, our lives may be like my old bike, not in very good running order, need a lot of TLC, need a lot of work, or a serious tune-up. And that's okay. God can step in and make those changes. I encourage you, turn from doing your own thing and to God. If you ask him to come in, he will answer you. Now, you might be thinking, you know, I tried Jesus once. I learned about him. Maybe even you said a prayer. You took him for a spin, in a sense, around the old neighborhood. But then finding that life with Jesus was a little different than life without him, or maybe it was worse. You kind of left him leaning, kind of like I did my old bicycle, against something somewhere. Maybe your experience that you had with him wasn't all that great, but maybe it was you and not him. You might not understand what the Christian life involved. You know, maybe you've been trying to shift gears when you're on a fixed gear bike. Or you tried to use a foot brake when it actually had handbrakes. Or maybe you were too short, it kept falling off, whatever the case may be. You might not have truly understood what it meant to follow Jesus, and you might not have had people come alongside to help you. Well, I would encourage you now that you hopefully know a little more. Know that there's an instruction manual that God can give you insight into who he is and how to live. And there are people of God who are willing to come alongside and help you understand and walk with Jesus. I encourage you, give it another shot. Get back on the horse. He came to give abundant life, but you've got to ride his way. My hope is that this Christmas, you'll think about the gift of Jesus, who he is, what he came to do. And just like I did with my bicycle so long ago, you'll tear into it and discover it's even better than you could have imagined. In 2 Corinthians, gives a prayer. "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." I'll close in prayer. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to live and die as a man. And yet, as God, you were God. And thank you that you came to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be made right with you and live with you forever in peace and joy and wonderful contentment. We thank you for the gift of Christmas we get to enjoy. Lord God, in your name we pray. Amen.